Joining me on this edition of Our Town is Klaus Witt. He is with Top Hydraulics. He runs the whole show over there. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you, George?
Good, good. I remember the first time I came over there to kind of see it was during a business after hours, I think.
That was about 7 years ago, 2017. We had fairly recently moved into the business park off of Kingwood at Pacific View Drive. We were all proud that we had, in a really short time, built a new building and moved in there, and we're happy to show off to the town what kind of machinery we have and what we're doing.
Now, let's go back a little bit farther. You mentioned to me the other day when we were having a discussion that you were at Stanford.
Oh, gee, yeah.
And talk a little bit about that. I mean, obviously, your schooling was in some pretty high-tech industry stuff there.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So I'm by trade originally a physicist, and to be more specific, an experimental physicist. And so that means I get to play around and prove other people's theories. If you watch the recent movie Oppenheimer, Oppenheimer himself is a theoretical physicist, and some counterparts were the experimental physicists that built things. Now, not every physicist builds weapons, and I never have, but there's some pretty interesting stuff. So when was that? Back in 1991, I received a job offer by email from Stanford University to be a what they called visiting physicist. And what I would be doing is building lasers for their particle accelerator. So that is some real heavy research into proving theories and to make that accelerator produce what they wanted. They needed specialized lasers. That happened to be my specialty, lasers. And from there, I became a staff physicist. Eventually, after a few years, got bored and went into engineering disciplines in Silicon Valley, doing building lasers, selling lasers, everything around lasers for a long time. What's cool about that is it's a mixture of physics, mechanical engineering, and electrical engineering. So I had loads of fun.
So what got you into the remanufacture of hydraulic pumps? How did that start?
Well, that's a whole different segment of my life, you could say. At some point, I got a little, bored, not bored. I didn't like the rat race in Silicon Valley, and found myself coming to Florence more and more often. And at some point in 2008, I ended up here in town, and having come out of a nasty divorce, I just needed to do something with my hands. So as things happened, I ended up buying a convertible. I promised myself, I'll buy a Mercedes convertible when this nasty thing is over. And I didn't have enough money left to buy one that worked properly. So I bought one anyway, because I do what I say and I say what I do. And there I bought a convertible that needed so much fixing that I decided to part it out instead of fixing it. And then, parting out that car, I realized how expensive these hydraulic components are and figured, wow, that's something that sustain me for a while. Yeah, there's a market there that I can be busy and tinker around. I like working on cars, and that seemed to work well.
How many people did you start with when you started Top Hydraulics?
Well, I did it all on my own. I thought, I'll probably be doing this for 10 years all on my own. But it turned out that after getting into this market, and especially being very active on the internet, giving lots of advice on how to fix cars, I got traction a lot faster than expected. After half a year, I had to hire somebody to help me out. And from there, it went on. Eventually, we were five people in our garage up at home. And that was too much both for the neighbors and for us being in such tight quarters. And eventually we decided to move into town, have something bigger. And wow, looking around, there was nothing we could really rent or buy. So we decided to build something, quickly zoomed in on the business park there off of Kingwood, made a deal with the city really quickly. And man, I have to say, the city was really good in supporting us back then, getting this building going. Imagine this. We decide in September that we're going to build something. By October, we pretty much had a deal with the city to buy a lot. And then you know how it is when you're supposed to get building permits and get contractors and the likes. Funny thing, by November, we broke ground. And by March, we had our first section of the building that was then 9,000 square feet, well, fully erected, and we were moving in March. It was 6 months after making a decision to move into town. So a big shout out to the city for working with us and to local contractors really stepping up and getting the job done.
My understanding is it's a lot easier to work within the confines of the city than, say, in the county. So that was probably a really good move on your part. Seems like the city does kind of step up when it's important.
Yes, they are very supportive when it comes to helping out local businesses.
So then you started to grow. Obviously, you started getting orders in from here, there, and everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you, in order to do this, you have to have a lot of specialized machinery. What are some of the tools of the trade that you need in order to do these kind of repairs and stuff?
Well, so the kind of repairs we're doing, I don't think we've made that completely clear yet. It started out with rebuilding or resealing tiny hydraulic cylinders for convertible tops. So let me step back a little bit. Almost any modern convertible has an automatic top where you push a button and push or pull a button, the top opens or closes. And depending on how fancy the car is, that mechanism can be really fancy. Like in 90s Mercedes SLs, there were 12 tiny cylinders that move the top, latch a cover, lift a cover, and this and that, to go through the whole computerized motion of the top. And that's really what did it in the 90s. Computers came into the game that allowed one pump with lots of valves on it to send all this fluid to these hydraulic cylinders. So first we started out rebuilding cylinders. That means we take the cylinders apart, we replace the seals in them, and our motto is making the best better. We wouldn't touch something if we couldn't make it better, if we couldn't put in better seals and actually be convinced to say our parts are better than brand new ones inside. So that's the cylinders. Then we realized, wow, the hoses going from the pump to the cylinders sometimes fail, and we can make those. Then we realized, wow, the pumps that power these tops can fail as well. So we just learned on the go and started rebuilding pumps, which there's a lot going into it. There's electric motors, there's valves, seals, and mechanical things to consider. We have it all down, and we're doing a real good job at it. But it just took a while to get there. So your question was, what kind of tools of the trade are there? Well, for most of the technicians on the production floor, everyone has their own little mechanical lathe to do incidental things, make themselves some special tools, or cut cylinders open. We also by now have a total of 10 CNC machines. So CNC machines are computer numerical controlled machines that are, well, fully automated. And
so basically there's a program in there that sets where the product needs to be and what needs to cut it and how deep it needs to go and all that stuff. Is that kind of set in there?
Right. So there are mills and there are lathes. You know what a lathe is, where you have something chucked in horizontally, it spins, and there's a tool working on that spinning part. Or you can have a mill where your part is chucked in stationary, like in a vise, and then your tool moves around it, milling around it. And
so you could go from a solid piece of something and then turn it into the end product.
Exactly, exactly. So it varies how we use these machines. There are some parts that we make that, if we use, say, 200 of these parts a year, then we'll just, say, once a year run a program where we make these 200 parts to make it efficient. And then there's other things where some cylinders actually need CNC machining on them while we rebuild them. So there are special programs that make the machine do these things to these cylinders that we need to have done while we're working on that single cylinder that the customer has mailed us.
So the growth started after, moving in, and you started to grow. COVID hit. What did COVID do to either the industry or to, the structure of your business to affect it?
That's interesting. COVID, nobody really has anything good to say about it, and we don't either. Theoretically, COVID made the auto repair business more needed, because when COVID hit at first, man, people were sitting at home quarantined and saying, I'm going crazy. I need to do something. I'm going to work on my car now. So suddenly we get all these calls. Can you rebuild these parts for my car? Can you rebuild these cylinders? And there was a surge in our business, I would say around April, May already of that year when everybody was in quarantine. But it wasn't like we could produce more because, you know how it is. We had to distance, and some people were out sick, and it was always rather be safe than sorry. So actually our our productivity was down a little bit. We still managed to grow that year, and we have been growing every single year, but it was tough.
So now you're growing again.
Mm-hmm.
And you've added new machines from my view the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a lot. But the one thing that hasn't grown is the pool to select to put employees in place. How is that working, or how is that affecting your ability to grow at this point?
Well, we talked about it the other day, George. If we had a lot more employees of the same skills as the ones we have now, we could scale the business accordingly. There's lots of business that we're actually turning down simply because we don't have the manpower. There are things that we figured out how to fix, rebuild, make better, 10 years ago. And we always said, man, we need to hire more people first. And that's been a struggle from the beginning, getting the pool of qualified, or I shouldn't say qualified, actually talented people. Really what we need is people who are, how should I say it? Smart is always good, but what you really need is aptitude and attitude. Aptitude meaning you're good with your hands, you have a knack for mechanical things. If you're a tinkerer, you like to take things apart, but to the level that you put them back together again too, then that is already good. And attitude, you really want to get things done. Nothing makes a day go by faster and with more joy than if you actually get things done.
I've always believed that it's easier to teach someone who wants to learn than to teach someone who thinks they already know everything.
Absolutely, right.
So someone, like you said, has an aptitude, has a working knowledge of certain things, likes to tinker, take things apart, put them back together. Like back in the day of mechanical things, I used to rebuild carburetors on my cars.
Mm-hmm.
I always used to do that. I love doing that. But then when they got all electronic, it seemed different. But it seems to me that the computers have advanced so far that you can train someone with the right aptitude and attitude in this field.
Oh, absolutely. So it just comes down to having talented, willing people, talented, mechanically willing to work, get things done. And once you have that combination, it's good. We can train people very well on their jobs, and it doesn't take Mr. Perfect or Mrs. Perfect to come in. Training will do the job, and you don't have to be the perfectly mechanically inclined person either. There's different levels people can work on, the more and less advanced things. But ultimately, the goal within the company is that everybody in the end can do everything. So the teamwork means if one party is overloaded, then others kick in and take things off their shelf and help out. And man, it feels great if you have a team that does that all by itself. Everybody feels good at the end of the day.
I imagine it also helps too to be able to hire someone who can work within that team format, that is a team player, that socially can work with others,
you know. Right. It's important for everybody. Nobody wants to have a stick in the mud sitting in their corner and dragging the mood down. So it's important to be a team player.
And on the other hand, you don't want someone that all they want to do is have fun, right? You have to have that balance.
Right. You know. Right.
So what kind of people would help, or what positions would help round out the company now to match some moderate growth? I know you're looking for some folks now, and I think you told me the other day you'd like to have up to 10 at some point.
If we could hire 10 technicians throughout this year, I would be thrilled, would be awesome. We haven't been able to get that hiring rate before. What we're looking for mostly are what we call production technicians. Actually, the title is production technician and assembly specialist. That's somebody who's out there on the production floor with the others, taking cylinders apart and putting them back together, taking pumps apart, putting them back together, making parts on the CNC machines. And, you know, originally my thinking was we really want auto mechanics. Mostly I thought that would be because they like cars and they like fixing car parts. And that is largely true. But it doesn't have to be a mechanic. It's just somebody with the right talent, aptitude, and attitude.
Now, when I, you know, when I hear specialist, I go, oh, you know, I couldn't qualify for that. So when someone's out there listening to this and they go, boy, I don't know if I should apply for this. Just give me a couple of the basic skills someone could have that could be grown to that, so that if someone's home listening, they can go, well, yeah, I can do that. So maybe I could learn to do this.
So the basic skill, it's not even a skill. The basic talent is good hand-to-eye coordination, so that you can work tools well. So we're dealing with tiny parts, and you have to have a certain coordination of your hands and arms with the eye to be good at the job. Sorry, that's the way it is. Right. It's mechanical aptitude, more or less. And, aptitude, actually, mechanical aptitude also means your thinking is rather mechanical, other than, say, languages or other aptitudes that people might have. Not that we don't like those, but mechanical is important.
Right. Sometimes you can look at something and see not only how it goes together, but why it goes together that way.
Right.
You have that mechanical
exactly,
aptitude.
Exactly.
So that helps.
And it doesn't take a specialist. You become a specialist when you're here. But so you come in as a talented person and you turn into a specialist. It takes us a few months to train somebody to be really good at the job. Nobody comes in perfect. If they think so, then it takes a little longer to teach them.
Now, are you looking for full-time employment, or does it start temporary and then, depending on the skills, works into full-time?
No, we have to go full-time because we invest so much into training our staff that it would go too slow if somebody wanted to work only part-time. So far, everyone is allowed to do overtime, and of course, overtime is paid extra, but nobody's required to. So we have our staff, most of them do a little overtime, and some of them go overboard on it.
This seems like it would be a good job for somebody to have steady work and
right.
learning new skills, mm-hmm. advancement within the company as well.
Yes, right. Advancement within the company. So you could turn into some kind of leadership position or more of a specialist. You're particularly good at tiny things. Then eventually you might be rebuilding Ferrari transmissions once we get around to that again. It's one of those things that we had to drop when COVID hit and we had to concentrate all production time on cylinders only for a while.
I think I told you the other day if I didn't love what I did, I would be definitely encouraged to come, you know, and work because what I saw was all the things that I used to love to do myself. So
right.
I understand that, you know, there's probably a lot of people out there who don't really know until now what mm-hmm. Top Hydraulics does or did.
Yeah, it's interesting. People always say, you are an enigma to us. You're out there in the business park. What are you actually doing? Hopefully this helps a little bit. The reason we're not so well known in town probably is, well, we don't socialize that much with the Chamber of Commerce and this and that.
And you're probably working all the time.
We're working all the time. That's exactly it. We don't have time to go to Tuesday meetings. We're working all the time.
Right.
But anyway, what makes us strong is actually the internet. It's extremely powerful. I mentioned that originally that I was in the early years making lots of posts on forums, telling people, giving people advice how to fix things. Then we make videos, do-it-yourself videos on how to take these parts out of your car, how to fix your car yourself. We even had a few years ago Mike Brewer of Wheeler Dealers coming by and putting us on a TV show. It was really exciting. Anyway, what makes us strong is the internet. People find us. If you own a car on which the cylinders fail and you Google for those parts, will show up as number one on the search page just because we're so big. We have these tens of thousands of customers that we've helped and they'll feed back and make it known on the internet.
So if someone is thinking about, changing jobs or maybe someone is new to town, is looking for work, and that, what would they need to do in order to kind of start the process with Top Hydraulics?
To start the process, you go on our website, tophydraulics.com. That is TOPHYDRAULICS, tophydraulics.com. And you scroll down the homepage and you find employment opportunities. And there you'll find the job listings with descriptions. Once, if you find something that matches, for example, this production technician and assembly specialist that we just talked about, you start out by simply sending us a resume. It doesn't have to be fancy. We're not judging you on how well you write. What we'd like to see is what you're good at and what you've done in the past. Mm-hmm. Build from there.
And again, if you don't know how to use a CNC or a lathe, that's something that can be taught.
Oh, of course. We wouldn't expect anybody to know how to operate a CNC. It's surprisingly easy. We just tell you which buttons to push, and you become more and more familiar and comfortable with it and do it. And operating a lathe, I haven't operated a lathe before. I bought the first one, a little over 10 years ago. It's just something you get used to.
Something you learn.
Yep.
Klaus Witt, thank you so much. TopHydraulics.com. If folks want to look and see about obtaining a job in a great work environment, I stopped over there. Everybody seemed really happy and pleased to be doing what they're doing. So a lot of kudos to you folks over there.
Awesome. Thank you.
Coming up next, we'll talk with the director of Crow. Melanie Hurd will be with us to talk about some of the new shows coming up this season on the March edition of Our Town.